Blog Talk Radio.
Within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome. Excuse me. And good morning. Just bear with me a minute here. Have a little shortness of breath. Just came out of the hospital, but I didn't want to disappoint my listeners. Amen. Just so glad and so blessed to be back. And so, as I was saying, good morning and welcome to the Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda, and I am the co-pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. Today we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to The Apostle Speaks. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Amen. Praise be to God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
To God. It is now time for our devotional message, which is entitled The Real Need. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from James 1 and 15, and it says in the NIV, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Praise God. Name the problem that plagued our world. And you can trace them back to underlying emotional or spiritual needs in people's lives. Whether it's substance abuse, poverty, broken families, crime, or violence, every destructive condition grows out of profound internal needs that are first manifested in the heart. People react to the circumstances that they believe are the source of their unmet needs, but that are often only symptoms. For example, a person may think that money will elevate the problems and dissatisfaction he has in life. And he may respond to that perceived need in a manner that is unhealthy, ungodly, and ultimately unsatisfactory. With anything from workaholism to theft, but in reality, the deep inner need he is really feeling might be for respect, personal worth, or security. That is an oversimplification, but you see the pattern. That person will be answering the wrong questions about what really fills his soul. Friend, don't make that mistake. God not only reveals the true source of your need, but satisfies it beyond imagination. Seek him and trust him to be all you required. Amen. Praise be to God. Jesus, the truth is that I need you. Please help me see past my perceived needs to the deep inner cry you want to satisfy in me. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that is our devotional message for this morning. I pray that it was a blessing to you as it was unto me. And now at this time, I will play a selection for the Bible says in Romans 10:14 through 15 in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. After the selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Praise God.
I want you to put your mind and your focus on the Spirit of God. Spirit to come into your heart.
Yeshua,
worship you.
Yeshua,
worship you.
Yeshua, He's a
Amen. Praise be to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to, excuse me, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 20. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. And Jesus tells the parable of the lost son. And it says, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pots he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to eat, have food enough to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired hand. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your great generosity to us. Thank you for giving yourself to us in Jesus Christ. Thank you for abiding in us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your blessings to us through the church. Thank you for your message to us through the Bible. Thank you for giving us the opportunity of sharing the good news of your love to a needy world. Accept our tithes and offerings and bless them to the end that many people around the world will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Several years ago, newspapers and television programs carried the news of identical triplets who had been separated at birth and were reunited at age 23. Through a unique set of circumstances, mutual acquaintances brought them together. They were indeed shocked and pleased to discover that they were triplets. Have you ever studied the Bible to discover persons with whom you have identical problems or circumstances or needs. Studying the Bible in this manner can be very helpful. It gives us insight into how God worked to bring good into their lives. He will do the same for us if we respond with faith and commitment. The account of the prodigal son and the waiting father is the most famous short story in all literature. The primary character in this story is not the prodigal son who wasted his inheritance. The main actor in this exciting short story is the waiting father, who yearned for the return of his foolish child. Today, let us look at the characters in this short story to see if this passage of scripture can speak to our hearts. Most of us do not look for ourselves in this story. We live as close as possible to our roots. We have never journeyed into a far country to live. We do not make it a practice to waste our money and tarnish our reputation by revealing with people of low morals. At least we are not on Skid Row. We have not received an inheritance to waste. Consequently, we remove ourselves from this passage of scripture. My text, praise be to God. My text for this message is coming from Luke 15:13, from our scripture reading. Not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. My title for this message is, Where is the Far Country? Amen. So let's find out. Where is the Far Country? The Far Country has been designated as any place that is one step away from God. The Far Country is marked by an attitude of distrust in the Father's will and good plan. The Far Country is located in an attitude of self-interest that defines one's purpose for living in terms of getting and having. The elder brother, who was living with his father, was living in the far country, even though he had never changed his address. In reality, the far country is located in the heart of the person who does not trust in the Father. Are you living in a far country? You can be living in a far country without being aware of it. Do you have the attitude of the younger son who went to his father and said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me? In reality, he was saying to the father, drop dead. I want what is mine. I want it now. I want to live my own life according to my own plans. Are you saying, give me the freedom to go and do as I please without any controls on my appetites or ambitions? Or are you saying, give me the pleasure that the world has to offer? Is your only concern for the satisfaction of the appetite of your human nature? Are you saying, give me the position that I want? This could refer to a place in the home, on the team, in the orchestra, or in the place of business. Selfish seeking for a position of privileges and power without accepting the responsibility that goes with that position identifies us as a twin brother or sister of the younger son. Amen. Or are you saying, give me the popularity I want? There is a little bit of ham in all of us. There is something about human nature that likes to be in the spotlight. People hunger for acceptance and recognition. When the desires for approval becomes the dominating motive of life, we find ourselves identified with the younger son. Are you saying, give me the treasure I can acquire? Measuring success in terms of the things we acquire is a common temptation. Without being aware of it, we can find ourselves in the far country as we achieve one success after another in our business or vocational life. Or are you saying to the Father God, give me in the realm of religion? Some people see God as being their servant. They desire his forgiveness without any concern about receiving his grace to forgive others. Are you asking God for guidance so that you can get rich rather than asking him for guidance so that you might be righteous? Are you asking God for protection without any thought at all of fulfilling his purpose for your life? Or are you saying to God, give me heaven, without any concern at all for working with him to help others escape hell? Is it very possible to be nothing more than a parasite in God's family? To be a parasite places you in the far country without your being aware of it. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. The disappointments of the far country. Living the self-centered life does not lift us to our highest potential. In fact, living the self-centered life lowers us from our position of dignity as a member of the human race. Living the self-centered life does not honor God or fulfill his purpose for us. Our chief purpose in life is to honor God and serve him forever. Only what we do for God is going to have any significance for us or for others 100 years from now. Living the self-centered life does not benefit others. It hurts and hinders them. It prevents them from becoming what God wants them to be. Living the self-centered life leads to a famine in the soul. Those who focus attention only on themselves may achieve success, popularity, and position. They may be able to enjoy many of the world's pleasures, but they will experience a bleak, desolate famine in their innermost being. Living the self-centered life leads to a life of crushing slavery. Those who become a slave to their appetites and ambitions become possessed by their possessions rather than being effective stewards of all that comes under their atmosphere of influence. Returning home from the far country. The so-called prodigal son was a stupid, ungrateful, selfish, immature, and self-destructive young man. Let it be said to his credit that although he was very foolish, he did not remain a fool. He did not remain in the far country. He did not remain in the place of bleak and desolation and hunger and loneliness. He came to his senses. He stopped and took inventory. He recognized his mistakes. He was wise enough to recognize that he had chosen the wrong road that led to the wrong destination. He accepted responsibility for his condition. He did not blame his father. There is no suggestion that he blamed his brother or his mother. He was honest with himself and did not pass the buck by blaming society. He was wise in that he resolved to return to his father. The decision was made in his mind and heart before there was a change in the direction of his body. He adjusted his attitude from being a parasite to being a contributor. He began his journey into the far country with the demand, "Give me." He began his return home while still in the far country when he decided he would say to his father, "Make me as one of your hired servants. Excuse me. And my conclusion is, the exciting return of the wayward son from the far country brought about a great change in his status and in his situation. The father had waited in agony and prayer. Day after day, he had fed the fatted calf, looking forward to the time when the son would come home. As the son met his father, he cried out, "I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer fit to be called your son." The father dealt with the son in terms of mercy, forgiveness, and sonship. The father will deal with you in a similar manner. Today, if you will return from the far country and alter your attitude and ambition, each of us should pray to the Father, "Make me a giver rather than a getter. Make me a helper rather than a hinderer. Make me a healer rather than a hurter. make me a contributor rather than a parasite. Make me an encourager rather than a discourager. A great welcome is waiting for you. The Father God and Christ the Son want to welcome you, as do the saints who have gone on before you. I pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me, the far country. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Deliver me, save me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected and from the dead. He is alive, and he is my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. I don't have time for you right now. Okay. And my, oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. And my benediction is coming from Jude 24 through 25. And it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Whew. Thank you, Lord God. And now, at this time, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our poetry at this time. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Praise God. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you doing?
Oh, right now I'm feeling awful. I'm in a lot of pain, but I'm pushing on.
Mm-hmm. I could hear it, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Me too. I mean,
but I'm glad you heard it.
Wasn't my best sermon, but you know, I said I can't stay in the bed all the time or walk around the house feeling sorry for myself, so let me get up and do God's work.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah. Even though it's hard, you know, to breathe sometimes, but it is what it is, and I thank God that he saw fit to wake me up this morning to even be here to do this. So
right.
I am grateful. Amen.
Amen. I'm grateful too, and I could hear the struggle in your breath. So
yes. Oh, boy.
Without, catch a breath, and without further delay, I'll be reading a poem from my book, The Profundity of God, a Spiritual Anthology in Poetry. And this one is entitled, Who is this God? And what is he to you? Who is this God? And what is he to you? That's the question for today. Only you know and can answer for yourself. However, this is what I have to say. God is love. You can feel him when you love. God is hope. He can resolve all issues, too. God is a spirit to be felt by anyone, anywhere, everywhere, all at the same time. God is pure, tried, faithful, and true. In fact, God is divine. He does things that seem sometimes in elements of surprise. But when God is in your life, you just say that God is awesome, that he's supremely sublime. He is everything to me. I'm glad I'm his child forever and forever for life. I can't begin to imagine living this life without God. I don't even want to try. These are some of the reasons I love God like I do. He can do for me what he's done for others.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen it. This we all know is true.
Mm-hmm.
So I said how I feel. I turn it over now to you. I ask you, who is this God? And what is he to you? Amen.
Amen. That is beautiful. What is that we just got to sit down and meditate and reflect on who God is for us, you know?
Thank you for that.
Yes.
Think about it and reflect on the things that you attempted to do and couldn't do, but God.
Mm-hmm. But God.
But God. Amen. Made it possible. And he keeps on making a way.
Yes, he
keeps
does.
Keeps on making a way.
Mm-hmm. So
search
at
your
this
heart.
Point, yes.
You find out who this God is and who is he to you.
Yes. Amen. So at this time, I'm going to play Bread of Life, and then we're going to get into our communion service because this is first Saturday of a brand new month, July.
Yes. Okay.
Bread of life sent down from the Lord. Many think you were on earth a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word. Say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth. A holy king, a carpenter. You are the living
word.
Gentile
Redeemer, God with us,
God with us, the living truth, and what a friend we have in you
are an awesome ruler, Gentile
Redeemer,
God with us,
God with us,
the living truth, what a friend. But when we put it all together, this is what we'd like to call you, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call.
Jesus,
Jesus,
So if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So at this point, we will begin our communion service. We will play a hymn, which we just did, to give you time to get your elements in hand for communion. It can be a matzah or a wafer with no yeast, and a small glass of grape juice and your Bible. Amen. So the Lord's service is for the Lord's people, those born again and living a holy life. The scriptures are clear that each person bears responsibility before God to determine his or her witness fitness to partake. So let us read 1 Corinthians 11 and 28. And I'm reading from the New Living. 28 says, "That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup." Amen. But the participation is not optional for the believer. Christ said in 1 Corinthians 11 and 24, and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." Okay, do this, if you know that your child has prayed to receive Christ and that he has a basic understanding of the symbolism involved, then he, she, or they should be free to participate. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 24, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Now at this time, we will have our very own Barbara A. Amore give us a short prayer for the bread.
Precious and Heavenly Father, once more and again, a few of your humble servants come to give you praise, glory, and honor. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, this first half of the second half of the 12 months, to give you glory and honor and to partake in this Last Supper, this Lord's Supper. Father, we thank you for being the bread of life. We thank you for doing everything that you've done, sacrificing your life for us so that we may have the right to eternal life. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you're doing for us, and all that you're going to do. I ask that you bless us and keep us. All these blessings I ask in the matchless name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So let us eat together. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11 and 25 through 26, in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes."
Amen.
Yes. I will say the Jewish prayer for the wine. Oh, excuse me. It's right here in front of me. Okay. And it says, Baruch Atai Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha-Olam Barerek Pri Ha-Ganfen Ha-Amiti Ye Yeshua Ha-Mashiach. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, Creator of the true fruit of the vine, Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen, amen, and amen. And let us drink of this vine. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And that, so may the Lord bless and keep you, that you might grow strong in the image of Christ to redemption. Amen.
Yes. Praise God.
Praise be to God. Amen. It's been such a long while now since we had communion or service on Saturday. So I really feel good about it. That I decided to, and all my pain and everything else, get up and have communion today.
Good.
Yes. So now I am going to end this program at this time.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm going to go back and lie down.
That sounds good.
Yes, that God give me the strength and that this pain will go away. I mean, like, I'm taking the antibiotics and everything, but it just takes so long.
Yeah, they have to work. You have to give them time to work, so.
Yeah, I know. Had to give them time to get into the bloodstream because I just started them. Well, I was on the liquid ones when I was in the hospital, but then when I came home, they gave me the pills.
Okay.
You know, and the pills is every 8 hours, and one is every 12 hours. So Okay. Yeah, I just don't like, you know, the jittery, you know. It makes me feel, yeah. And it's like I can't sit up. It's like I got to go lay down. I can't sit up. You know, that's the way it makes me feel. And then my stomach hurts me so bad. But, I mean, like, I never saw that coming. I never even dreamed that I would have something like that.
Right.
That was like completely kick in the gut.
Not really.
Is that what we had said it was? Oh, it's the tick the light.
That was
the
OT. Yeah.
Yes. That's it.
So did they give you a diet?
Nope. They gave me a whole bunch of websites to go to.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. I was like, what kind of hospital is this that the doctors don't even give you a diet sheet for you to follow? And they give
and
you
the patient has to, and the patient has to do the work.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Exactly. They lazy.
Well, it's not that they're lazy, but that's their new way of doing things.
Right.
So,
since the pandemic, everything has changed.
Nuts and seeds and certain pastas and rices and all that kind of stuff you can't have. I don't know if they even told you that, right?
No, they. According to this home care, it says follow a special diet if told by your doctor, which he did not tell me. He just gave me a bunch of websites with the thing to go on. And it says, when you feel better, your doctor may tell you to change your diet. You may be told. Yeah, that's what it's saying here. It says you may be told.
Listen, if you keep eating the same things you were eating before, how are you going to feel better?
Exactly.
You need the diet to switch your way of eating now so that you don't continue aggravating the situation.
Yeah, I'll go online and have
that. Because, like I said, if you get nuts and seeds in your intestines, that's going to be a problem. So you want to avoid that and those other things I told you. But research it for yourself and see.
Eat a lot of fiber, fruits, and vegetables. And
to keep it moving.
Yes, it says a good source of fiber. Fiber makes it easier. Well, you know, they said poop. Who cares about it? Yeah.
No, that's important.
I know. But the thing is that I don't have any appetite. That's my problem. And then when I don't eat, I get gas.
So you got to eat something. Even if you're not hungry, you got to eat something.
That's just it. I don't know what to eat. But after I go take a lay down for an hour or so, and then I'll get up and get back on the computer to go to the site that he gave me so to find out exactly what it is to eat. I have to eat, and then I'll have my sister go and pick them up for me.
Okay, but even if you're not hungry, try to eat something. You don't have to eat the whole whatever. But
I start eating and then it's like I just get full. And when I do eat, I feel so nauseous.
What? So, yeah, I think that's a sign of it, too.
Yeah.
Just be careful. Persevere. Keep your hand in God's hand, and you're going to be all right. You know?
I know. I'm just going to do what the good Lord will help me to do. But like I said, like I told Jake yesterday, for you guys on Thursdays or every day, that you're praying to. Please keep my daughter in prayer. She got a heart monitor put into her chest yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, She I don't think it was a stroke that she had. Well, it could have been both, you know, because she could have had a slight heart attack that brought on, or she could have had the stroke that brought on the heart attack, mm-hmm. or the heart attack that brought on the stroke. So either way you look at it, she still had to end up with the heart monitor in her. Yeah, she was supposed to go home, but I don't think she's going home till next week. I tell her, why are you rushing to go home? Mm-hmm. Your son is 15 years old.
You know how mothers die.
So. Yes, yeah, I do.
But at least they're monitoring her heart. It's not like she had surgery yet. They're watching her heart to see what's up.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, you and she are on our prayer list on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and you're on our prayer list on Thursday also.
Mm-hmm.
With Susan Clyde. So.
Okay.
Yeah, and not to mention in between times when it's not even that, it's just personal. Yes, you're on our prayer list. Okay, so God, just cover you and just get well. I know it's not an easy time for you right now, but God is in control. You're going to be all right. And please get something to eat. I mean, if it's no more than soup, some kind of soup, you know.
I will.
Something.
Right now, I hear my bed calling me.
Okay. I'm going to try to check on you. I might try to call you back later today, all right?
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Be blessed. You. Love you.
Love you, too. Have a good one.
All right. Hugs and kisses.
Thank you. Right back at you.
Shalom.
Shalom.
All right.
I will. Okay. So we're out.
Out.
Yes.